The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Good afternoon. I'm Jim Stanley, sitting in for Bert Harper, and it is my privilege to be talking with Alex McFarland this afternoon. Alex, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you, Brother Jim. It is always an honor to be on the air with you.
Well, you're too kind. Hey, brother, are you in Charlotte this week?
No, I'm with a heavy heart. I'm watching the coverage of Charlotte. I'm actually in Colorado teaching at a Bible college.
Right.
And doing a course on God and government, the role of Christianity in government. But Jim, I will tell you, I would just solicit the prayers of everyone across America to please pray for the state of North Carolina and specifically the city of Charlotte.
Well, I agree with you. In fact, Brian Fisher from Focal Point is still in the studio with us. He doesn't have his headset on, but I know he's a man that's instant in season and out of season, and I'm going to ask him if he would pray for the residents of Charlotte, North Carolina, and if he would just take and remember the community there, the leaders and the police, and that way we'll have someone lift them up in prayer right now.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we do come before you on behalf of the community of Charlotte. We lift up before you the residents of that place. We pray that you would release a spirit of calm, a spirit of self-control, a spirit of patience, a spirit of restraint, a spirit that seeks to understand and know the truth. We pray that you would loose that spirit over that entire city. We pray that you would prompt the people in Charlotte and the place where they live to be constant in prayer for your protection, for your safeguarding in that city. We pray for the mayor. We pray for the police chief. We pray that you will give them great wisdom and understanding and insight, that you would enable them to see past the pressure and be able to see the truth and to be guided and steered by the truth, that they would be a steady hand for their community and their citizens at this time. We pray for the family of the man who lost his life. We pray for your comfort and peace for them. We pray that you likewise would give them a spirit that seeks to understand and to know the truth. We pray for the officer who fired the shot, a good man, a man who knows you, and we pray as he's rattled by this that you would speak comfort and reassurance to him in every way where it's appropriate and strengthen him. So we ask for your peace. Lord, you've taught us to pray that we may live peaceful and tranquil lives, and we pray that peace and tranquility would soon be restored to the city of Charlotte. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Well, we're in the book of James, and we're in the fifth chapter. You guys got up to verse 12 yesterday, so we'll pick up with verse 13 today.
Mm-hmm.
And as we do so, I'll be reading from the New American Standard this afternoon. But before I do that, a shiny squirrel ran by my office yesterday afternoon, Alex, and okay. I thought about you when I saw this particular squirrel. We have a lot of folks that believe that the King James Bible, or the authorized version, if you will, is the Bible that we should all use. And I among probably a million or so of his closest friends, got an email from Kirk Cameron yesterday, and he was talking about the Patriots Bible, and that the Patriots Bible is actually based on the Gutenberg Bible. And so that was before the translation of the King James. And the reason for that was because at that time, in that place, King James didn't like some of what the Bible said. So he had his own guys do it, didn't he?
He did. He did. You know, I saw a Patriots Bible this morning. And, it's a good Bible with a lot of notes. And, there's a new King James version of it that Thomas Nelson, I guess it was probably 30 years ago, updated and just tweaked a little bit. But, you know, Jim, we are so blessed to live in a time when there are a lot of good translations.
Yes.
Bert and I on the show, I mean, we've read from the New American Standard and the Holman Christian Standard, mm-hmm. which is a study Bible that came out a few years ago. And so, but you know, the Patriots Bible has a lot about how Christianity influenced the development of our country and really the writing of our Constitution. You know, Jim, I've studied this for a while, and every time I prep to teach a class or write something, again and again, I'm just moved by how our founding was steeped in Christianity.
It was, and I didn't say that to negatively impact the King James Bible. I just thought it was the way that Kirk framed that email yesterday is, what if President Obama told us that, you know, what was applicable and was not applicable in the Bible? Or what if President Clinton or President Bush or, you know, whomever the president is suddenly decides they want a new translation of the Bible that would affirm some of the policies or positions that they hold, and how resistant we would be to that. And so that was kind of what caught my eye.
Sure.
And so I knew that you were familiar with the Patriots Bible. And folks, it really goes to a lot about our religious liberties that we need to protect here in this country. Folks,
it
says the freedom, our First Amendment rights include the freedom of religion. It says freedom of. It doesn't say freedom to worship. It doesn't say freedom to talk nice things. It says freedom of religion. And for our friends who think it says freedom from religion, they would also be wrong. However, this is not focal point. Brian just happens to be sitting next to me, and he's rubbing off on me. But I want to get to the scripture, Alex, and I know you do too.
Well, amen.
All right.
But I do. Folks, learn the incredible, the moving, inspiring history of this country. You know, Jim, before the show, I was reading, and from John Adams to Samuel Adams to George Washington, you know, the founders were overtly, explicitly Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read a quote, and we're going to go to James 5, verse 13. But
okay.
Samuel Adams has been called the father of the American Revolution. He was a signer of the Declaration and a member of the Continental Congress. But Samuel Adams said this, and we could give 36 similar quotes from the other signers, but Samuel Adams said, quote, "The rights of the colonists as Christians are best understood by reading and studying the institutes of that great lawgiver and head of the Christian church, Jesus,"
right,
"which are to be found clearly written and promulgated in the New Testament," or spread in the New Testament,
amen,
set forth. But Patrick Henry, who was governor of Virginia, and said, "Give me liberty or give me death." He said, "This nation was founded not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ."
That's right.
And, you know, folks, we need, that's why we do Exploring the Word, and that's why we thrill when we hear of folks that have either come to the Lord or maybe come back to the Lord through this program. Jim, I was in Richmond night before last, Tuesday night, and oh my goodness, those dear people in Richmond, they are enthused about AFR.
Amen.
And Exploring the Word. And we met a lot of people that shared some testimonies about how the show had impacted them. And, you know, we could repeat that scenario from around the country. But folks, you got to understand, we give God the glory.
Amen.
We are so excited about the truth of Jesus, the Word of God, the fact that He allows us to, as Samuel Adams said, promulgate or proclaim or set forth this gospel. We give God the glory, and we just want lives everywhere to be touched by the message of Jesus.
Amen. We do indeed. Well, we're in the book of James, the 5th chapter and the 13th verse, and it picks up here, and it says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him." Alex, I want to pause right there, because there's a lot in those three verses. And the way that it's broken down in the New American Standard, it says, if you're suffering, then you're to pray. If you're cheerful, you're to sing praises. If you're sick, then the sick person is supposed to be the one that calls for the elders of the church, and they're to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And then, of course, James 5:15 says, the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. But Alex, sometimes we anoint people and we pray for them. We see others that are prayed for and are healed, completely healed, lifted up off their sick bed, and then we see others that aren't. Is God just mean?
Oh, no. The Lord is very merciful, but he is also sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
And part of being a human being in this fallen world is the fact of our own mortality.
Right.
And, you know, God is gracious to heal us, and I think when we get to heaven, I think we're probably going to find out that he spared us from 36 things we didn't even know about.
Right.
But this is a general call for Christians to care for one another. You know, let me say this. Back in James 5, verse 9, there had been a warning not to murmur or grumble against each other.
Right.
And now it says, you know, if you're suffering, if you're celebrating, or if you're sick, pray.
Right.
So don't gossip, but pray. Anoint with oil and pray in the name of the Lord. God always, I want to say this, for the life of a Christian, God always heals. He
right.
does. But sometimes it's not in this life, is it, Jim?
No, it's the complete healing of being restored to his presence. Mm-hmm. And Alex, I don't say that flippantly. I don't say that as a cliche, because I have seen both types of healing done. I have seen
That's right.
where the elders have gathered and prayed for someone and they've been restored. I've also seen where the elders have gathered and prayed for someone and that person be taken home to be in the presence of the Lord. But I tell you, Alex, I look forward to the time when I step into my glorified body that's given to me by Christ. And when we read Revelation, we always jump to that part that says there's not going to be any tears in heaven. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be some tears. Oh, but then the Lord will come. And he's going to wipe away every tear, because then
beautiful?
We'll be with him forever. And so, and I really, and folks, I don't mean that as a cop-out, but I tell you, when the Lord takes a believer home to be with him, the suffering is ended and the celebration has begun.
Oh, right on, right on. And you know what? It says, confess your trespasses mm-hmm. to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Do you remember back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where Paul had written and he says, you know, he's talking about sin. He says, for this reason, many are weak mm-hmm. and sick among you and some sleep. Physical illness is not always the result of personal sin, but
right.
it can be.
Right.
It can be. And rather than, gossiping or slandering or murmuring, we are to pray to God. Whether it's a cry for help or a praise for a blessing, we're to confess our trespasses to one another. It says, pray for one another that you may be healed. And look at the word may. I mean, we may be physically healed in this life, and
right.
very, very often God does. And there's even, Jim, I think in the call for the anointing of oil, I know we think of that as pictorial of the Holy Spirit, but I think there's also the legitimacy of medicine.
There is. Alex, hold that thought. We're going to come back with more of Exploring the Word right here on American Family Radio.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. Healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org.
healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Since I've led tours for many years to the Holy Land, Israel, many people ask me, what's your favorite place to go? I have two, really. The Garden Tomb and Calvary, and the Sea of Galilee. Now, I like all the places we stopped along the way in Israel, but those two places in particular are very special and meaningful. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be going to all the places you've read about in the Bible since you were a child. It's going to be a very special tour of Israel, the Holy Land, March 9 through 17, 2017. We're taking a direct flight from New York to Tel Aviv. For all the information on this tour, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or visit the website twholyland.com.
I'm a widow. I've worked for a bank for 31 years, and I've been retired now for 10 years.
Myrtle Norris comments on her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I had a lot of financial questions, and Dan Celia was, he answered my questions, and he helped me with a lot of decisions that I made. And then the charitable gift came up, and he explained that to me. I decided to get it, and I'm sure glad I did, because I know now that money is in a place that I know God wants it to be, and also get my monthly income from it. I believe in the AFA and what they're doing, because they're working for us.
Learn how the AFA Foundation can work for you. You can contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, on our website, afafoundation.net, or call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345. Thank you for supporting the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
American Family Radio, Jim Stanley with Alex McFarland here on Exploring the Word. That was Mercy Me. And Alex, that really is the desire of our heart for this program, that the Word of God would speak to us. And I have to tell you that I just enjoy that song all the time. One day we'll let you folks hear all of it. We're at verse 17. Well, actually, we're kind of right in the middle there. Verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much.
Amen.
Alex, when we look at that, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. It's not because of our righteousness that we're able to do that, is it?
No, it isn't. It's because of Jesus. And he said, we may come boldly to the throne of grace. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something that the Lord invites you, friend? In fact, he urges you to confidently, boldly bring your needs to him. And, you know, we've leaned on this verse for years. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Some of these words, if the word fervent, Jim, means strong.
Right.
And what God is saying here, look, your prayers are strong.
Yeah.
Jim, it's been said that prayer is the nerve that moves the muscle of God.
Amen.
Isn't that inspiring to ponder that?
For me, it really is, because I liken it back to Moses. I liken it back to some of the prayers where you have seen someone pray and God move. And I want to get to that point that I know I'm praying in the will of God. I know I'm praying with his righteousness, and I know that when I pray, I have no doubt that God's hearing me. And one other thing too, Alex, as we think about that, let's not forget that Christ himself is empowering our prayers, because he is our intercessor between us and the Father, and he is actually praying for us as well.
Exactly, exactly. Now, back in James, when we first started, Bert and I were going through chapter 1, and it says, you know, don't be double-minded, and mm-hmm. It says, for that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. The double-minded person Now, I think it's really amazing that James begins and it says, you know, be single-minded and ask in faith, not doubting, James 1:6. And the book closes out and it says the effective, fervent prayer. The word fervent there is an interesting word because it's akin to water boiling, the word fervent. And so, folks, you don't want to pray lukewarm prayers.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I know we would never say this, but what if we pray to the Lord, but we're just kind of half-hearted, and in our heart we're thinking, I know God could, but I bet he won't.
Yeah.
No, believe God. And Jim, I know you've heard this old saying, but God's level of blessing raises to our level of expectation.
It does.
It does.
You know, if we approached talking to God the same way we did talking about our favorite college or professional sports team, we would have a whole different level of prayer, wouldn't we?
We would. Fervent prayer, excited prayer. I mean, and folks, can you imagine if you were in the presence of, you know, your employer or a great leader or, you know, somebody significant, and you just kind of like said, hey, and kept walking by. Oftentimes, I think that we don't pray to God with focus and specificity. And I would encourage you to have a time of day. Many of you might be an early riser, and so the morning is a good time for you. Maybe not. Maybe later in the day or at night. But have a time when you get alone with God every single day.
Amen. Hey, Alex, in verse 17, the example is given to us of Elijah. And I like this because here's the thing. You think about these people. They have, you know, by and large, a lot of them are Jewish, and they've grown up hearing about the exploits of Elijah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and what he did. However,
his prayers could control the weather.
Absolutely could.
Now, and that's power.
It says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky produced rain, and the earth produced its fruit. But notice the key part to me, Alex, of that right there, is that Elijah, even though these people know him from history, they know him from their history as a Jewish nation, he was a man with a nature like ours. Mm. We have a sinful nature. So did Elijah. But God was able to use him, and he can still use us today.
Amen. Jim, that is a wonderful observation. You know, if we said, hey, how would you like to be able to pray like Billy Graham prays?
Right.
Or pray like Elijah prayed?
Right.
Well, we can.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't have any of the hindrances that we have no more hindrances, rather, than either of those men.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Some translations will say he prayed again and heaven gave rain and produced its fruit. Do you know, really, in the original language, it says he prayed with prayer.
Mm.
Now, that might sound kind of repetitious, and I suppose it is, because you remember in Luke 18, the first few verses where Jesus, I love Luke 18:1, says that Jesus taught his disciples that men ought always to pray and not to faint or give up. And then it talks about a widow who appeals to an unjust judge, and the judge finally gives in, and Jesus says, look, if an earthly judge knows how to do right by a person, how much more does your heavenly Father? You know, Jim, I think we need to pray, we need to repeat, and we need to be always like Elijah, praying with prayer, as the language really says. And it says the earth produced its fruit. There is fruit from prayer.
You know, and it also said that he prayed earnestly. And it goes back to what you said a moment ago about the fervency of prayer. We need to have an urgency in our prayer. And we aren't talking about like the Pharisees, where they just prayed to be heard. We're talking about, Alex, I have been with people, and you'll recognize the old phrase, they shout down heaven.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have been in prayer meetings where people have have just commanded things, and they weren't commanding it of God. They were asking that God use them for different things. And it's not that they thought that God was deaf, but they were praying with that fervency, almost like an old country preacher will pray with that fervency, because he really believes that someone in that congregation needs to know about Jesus, and this could be the last opportunity he has to share with them. So he wants to make sure he doesn't miss that opportunity. If we could come to that point where every prayer we make is prayed with that type fervency, I think you're absolutely right. We would see revival in America. We would see revival come, and we would see our land healed, and then we would see the America begin to produce the fruits now that it produced in olden days.
Amen. Amen. You know, Philip Schaff was a German writer, and he wrote about D.L. Moody, who preached thousands of sermons, maybe 20,000 times. And Schaff remarked about how apparently in the life of D.L. Moody there was such a fire and such a passion for God and for souls. And this, Jim, I read this probably 25 years ago, and it so moved me. Philip Schaff said, every day D.L. Moody viewed each day as maybe his last opportunity to share the gospel, and maybe some sinner's last opportunity to hear it.
Amen.
Now, that is a life lived with urgency, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Well, folks, we're going to open up the phone lines in just a moment at 888-589-8840. Cedra is standing by, or rather sitting by, to take your calls, and we'll get them on the air in just a moment. I promise we will. But when Alex and I get together, it's almost like homecoming. So you guys,
we just get to having church, don't we?
We do. In fact, Brent, our producer, said a moment ago he was almost ready to pass the offering plate. But let's finish up, Alex, with 19 and 20.
Yeah.
And because this is such a key part for me, because it goes back to what you said about one of the purposes of the book of James was for us to care for each other. And so James finishes with, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sin.
You know, just think about God using you to warn somebody, to turn somebody. I mean, we know it's the Holy Spirit. John 15 and 16, Christ said it would be the Holy Spirit that would convince the world of sin.
Right.
But to say a word that could turn somebody back to God,
amen,
change somebody's life, to bring a backslider back toward Christ, what an amazing thing God could do through you for somebody else. And that's a great reminder as this book ends.
It absolutely is. You know, in Matthew 18:15, it gives us an example of some of this. It doesn't say call him down from the pulpit. It says, my brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth and one turns him back. Matthew 18:15 says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won a brother. Now, it goes on to say that if he doesn't listen, then there are scriptural injunctions on how to handle that. But just think about it. You're restoring fellowship with a fellow believer, and you're turning them back from the way of destruction.
Yeah. Notice it says brethren. So we're talking about believers,
right,
the family of God.
Right.
If anyone among you wanders from the truth, here's the sad reality. Christians can fall into sin.
Absolutely.
And we've had callers, and we just respectfully dialogue about this, but we've had callers that have said, if you're truly saved, you're not going to sin anymore. And that's not true. And we've talked about Romans 7, Bert and I have, how, yes, if you're a born-again believer, the Spirit indwells you, the Spirit seals you, but that old flesh doesn't give up without a fight.
Right.
And so it indicates here in James 5:19 and 20 that Christians, sadly, regrettably, but Christians can, quote, wander from the truth. But another believer can help turn them back and call them back. And that's a ministry we want to be able to let God use through us. Do
through Amen. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. And folks, we're going to take your questions today on what we've talked about here in the book of James. Greg from North Dakota, we appreciate your call. You want to talk about post-tribulation versus pre-tribulation rapture, and that's not really our topic for today, and we want to talk about some things that unite us rather than divide us, and we're talking about restoring each other to each other here, and so we want to really stick with what we've got going on in the book of James. If you have a question about that, we'll be happy to take your call. Otherwise, we're going to move on and let someone else give us a shout at 888-589-8840. Alex, you live among many people, if you will. You have the opportunity to go out and minister. When you go to minister in different places and folks call you and say, hey, will you come minister at my church? You don't have a size limitation. You don't go to just the top nuts church in the community or the smallest church in the community or anywhere in between. You'll go to any of those. If I wanted to bring Alex McFarland to my church, how would I do that?
Oh, you're so kind to bring that up. Well, just give us a call. You can go on my website, alexmcfarland.com, and there's a tab there. And we do. You know, Jim, I've been so blessed to go to churches all over the 50 states and internationally. And, you know, I say this, for a saved sinner to open the scriptures anywhere is an honor, isn't it?
Amen. It absolutely is. And, you know, to be able to go in fellowship with folks and be able to break the word with them and break the bread of life with them, that is, I enjoy that a great deal. But I know that that's part of what you do year-round, because that's part of the way, you know, you're a tent maker. You don't just sit home and write books. You're out providing for the family, too.
We love to see people touched by the gospel. I was in Tupelo a week ago, and we were over there at Fairfield Presbyterian with Dan Rupert. And then I was in Richmond, and, you know, it's just a blessing. Fayetteville, and you name it. So you call me if you want to do an evangelistic or apologetics event to touch your community and equip the saved and persuade the lost. Call me, and we'll make it happen.
Amen. All right, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. And we're going to talk with Bobby from Texas. Bobby, thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. I listen to y'all all the time, and Alex, I love you and Bert and the whole AFR family. My question is pertaining to James, and Scripture says that a righteous man falls seven times a day. If a righteous man falls seven times a day, what in the world makes him righteous?
Great question. Well, any of us is righteous because of the holiness of Christ that's given to us when we come to faith. Now, you're talking about Psalm 24, where it says, if a righteous man falls seven times, it doesn't really say that they will fall, but it says, though or if a righteous man were to fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. So here's the thing. We become righteous in the sight of God by turning to Christ. And since we don't have any righteousness of our own, all of our righteousness is like filthy rags, the holiness of Jesus is attributed to us or decreed to us. But if we fall, and really the implication of the Proverbs 24:16 is not necessarily that they've fallen into sin, but they've maybe suffered some sort of a persecution or some sort of a circumstance. But God will continue to lift them up because they're God's child. And Hebrews 13:8, He will never leave us or forsake us.
Amen. We'll be back with more in your phone calls at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. By the way, earlier we were talking about how you could find out more information on voting. Find that at afr.net.
I really enjoy your program. It's fantastic. I really appreciate it.
Hi, my name is David from Holbrook, Arizona, and I just want to praise AFR for all that you do. I've been a longtime listener and supporter. I especially want to praise Brian Fisher. The man is just an amazing man. He brings us the current issues from a biblical perspective and very knowledgeable in the Constitution and the Bible. And I just love listening to Brian. He is head and shoulders above any other conservative talk radio host. Kennedy, Limbaugh, name anybody, and Brian just blows them in the weeds.
Your financial gift keeps your family equipped for the culture war. Join us for our three-day share-a-thon beginning October 18th. Listener-supported American Family Radio. 25 years on the battlefront for your family.
You experienced a call to ministry later in life, and now you're in a second career. You like to call it your calling. You know you need more preparation, but how? Where? Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, where an online Master of Divinity degree can be tailor-made for you. Small class size, individual attention, learning opportunities that fit your busy schedule. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where we equip the called. WBS.edu.
Our motto on Focal Point is simple. We need to pray, we need to think, and we need to act. That's why every day we open the program with prayer for spiritual renewal for ourselves and our nation. Then we talk about how we should think about what's going on around us. And then we talk about what we should do about it. This is Brian Fisher of Focal Point. Hope you will join us.
Making the issues clear and our role plain. Focal Point with Brian Fisher. Weekdays from 1 till 3 Central on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, you'll hear how leaders, not racial arsonists, responded to the Charlotte riots. The president of Less Government, Seton Motley, gives us an update on the latest big government power grabs and failures. And Dr. James S. Robbins discusses where he thinks climate change ranks on the list of national security priorities. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Well, good afternoon, and we thank you for listening to Exploring the Word here on American Family Radio. You can give us a call at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. I'm Jim Stanley, sitting in for Bert Harper, and it's my pleasure to be with Dr. Alex McFarland. And Alex, you know, one of the things that last caller asked about is how can we be righteous? It goes back to our righteousness isn't in ourself or of ourself. The righteousness that is in dude into us comes from Christ himself. So I myself can't be righteous, you know, right, in and of my own. It's just not going to happen. And as you mentioned, you know, it's like filthy rags. But the righteousness of Christ is what allows us to continue to walk and continue to walk out our faith.
Yeah. And, you know, Jim, this is one of the things that is absolutely unique about the Christian faith. Sometimes people ask, you know, how can I be sure Christianity is really true? And there are a lot of things we could say, but all of religion boils down to, you know, works, man trying to work their way to heaven. Mm-hmm. But Christianity says, no, look, you know, Isaiah 64 said, all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. Mm-hmm. Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned, but here's the thing, and folks, in all of world religions, I mean, this is utterly unique, how the standard for heaven, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to You've got to be as holy as God,
Amen.
Which is righteous. But we don't have it.
We
do not.
So
God says, if you'll put your faith in my Son and what he did on that cross, I will declare that you, in my sight, are righteous.
Amen. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Toby. Toby, welcome to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Yeah, thanks for, this is great stuff that you do here. First time on the, listening, and I'm just blown away. My question is, how do we as Christians show the world that, because the standards are so high, people are very, very judgmental about Christians and quick to say, well, see, Christians doing that. What's the point of being a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, how do we encourage ourselves when we fail
mm-hmm.
without necessarily condoning the behavior of fellow Christians and brethren, right? When great men of God fall, for example, and the rest of the world is like,
all right, Toby, that's a great question, man. And, I want you to listen on your radio, so I'm going to let you go, but I want you to hear what we're saying and go back and even pick up on some of what Alex said a moment ago. Remember, we're not doing this on our own. And even here in James, it says, if anyone among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back and one of you turn him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Brother, we're not in this by ourselves. If I mess up, it doesn't matter. You know what? As much as we love and respect Billy Graham, as much as we love and respect and really believe that he is a great man of God, he would be one of the first to tell you that he fails every day. But it's because of his relationship with Jesus Christ that he's able to make it through.
Mm. Yeah. And, so much of the Christian life is a balance, and we're saved through faith in Jesus, not works,
mm-hmm.
but if we are saved, good works should follow.
Right.
And Jim, another one of those, realities, there's holiness, but there's grace.
Mm-hmm.
We are to have standards, and we are to pursue holiness and to be conformed to the image of Christ. But at the same time, we're not legalistic. We
right.
are to be people of grace. And,
Amen.
As James closed out, it says, if somebody falls into sin, well, win them back and
mm-hmm.
bring them back to Jesus. And, just because we show grace and love and empathy doesn't mean that we're necessarily, okay with sin. And oftentimes, it's weird how true Christian grace can be confused with condoning of sin, and then other times love is just license, and we are to have, Jesus said we are to come with grace and truth, and so just because we show love and grace and restoration to somebody doesn't mean that we are condoning what they might have done.
No, and we don't, and that's one thing, because we want them to be restored. Because we want them to be set right with Christ doesn't mean
yes.
we condone what they did. It means we help bring them through repentance. And Alex, I think that's one of the things that we've gotten away from, even in some of the larger churches and smaller churches as well. We used to talk about fruits of repentance.
Mm-hmm.
If someone truly fell, if there was a moral sin that had taken place, and the person fell in front of the congregation, we didn't just put them back in the pulpit the next Sunday.
Right.
They walk through the time of repentance, and so that people would begin to trust them again, because broken trust is hard to overcome sometimes.
Oh, it is. And you know what? That's why we tell young people about, their life and their character. I mean, your reputation and the person that you are known to be. When you if you lose that, heaven forbid, very, very hard to restore. But we do, I love, and I heard this listening to David Jeremiah, that we are to act redemptively in the lives of people. And, even humans, I remember, Jim, when I was a youth pastor, and the guy, it was Saddam Hussein. I was talking to this youth group, and I said, should we pray for the salvation of our neighbor? Yes. Should we pray for the salvation of that friend at school? Yes. I said, should we pray for the salvation of Saddam Hussein? And 30 teenagers said no.
No, right.
I said, what? No, wait a minute. And so somebody said, could God really save Saddam Hussein? I said, look, he got Saul of Tarsus. I mean, we
Amen.
Should... You know, anybody could be saved if they would repent and turn to Christ and believe. And we are to be agents of redemption in this fallen world, aren't we?
We absolutely are. Well, let's talk to Greg calling from Arkansas. Greg, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My question has to do with I have doubts in my prayer, and I don't feel like my prayer life is very effective because I believe that the petitions that I am I'm putting before God, I'm not doubting God's ability to do, and you know, He's all powerful. I'm doubting what if my requests are based on my own selfish desires or, you know, based on my flesh, rather than aligning with the will of God. Mm. And, you know, I struggle with that so much. Can you help me out with that?
We can. Greg, I'm going to let you listen on your radio, and that is a great question. You know, Alex, I think that's something that we talked about a little earlier also in this study. And I tell you, you know, that's a great question, doubts in our prayer, because it's not. Sometimes I feel like my prayers bounce off the ceiling. So how do we move through that, and how do we grow in that?
Well, you know, Bill Bright of Campus Crusade, what a great man he was. Bill Bright, he said, God has three answers to prayer: yes, no, and wait for something better.
Mm.
And, you know, let me just say, part of prayer is not only asking and receiving, but a big part of prayer, I think, is getting to know Jesus more intimately. And Jim, you know, in 1 John chapter 5, it says, this is the confidence we have that if we ask God anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. It doesn't necessarily say that every prayer is going to get a yes.
Right.
But oftentimes, if we don't feel like we've seen an answer to prayer yet, it may be, there may be some things going on. God might be in the process of answering your prayer, but circumstances have to take place. And let me say this, folks. Just think about what all God is doing in the hearts and in the affairs of this world.
Right.
Because what God doesn't do, I believe, He does not ever override somebody's free will. And so, like, let's say you're praying for a friend to come to Christ, and you've prayed for 10 years, and they're not saved yet. Well, we don't know what invisible circumstances are being orchestrated behind the scenes, and there's just so many things that are a part of the equation of God accomplishing His will, acting in our best interest. Psalm 37:4, working out the desires of your heart. And look, God gives things. Jim, I mean, I've prayed for some things that might sound just crazy, and yet God does. God is so gracious to give us the desires of our heart. But oftentimes, folks, over the course of a journey, what happens is God answers our prayer by not necessarily changing circumstances, but changing us.
Amen.
Have you ever experienced that, brother?
I have, because, you know, when we talk about our desires lining up with Him, that's one of the things that sometimes He changes our heart.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's a great lesson to be learned there. Alex, let's talk to Nancy calling from Michigan. Nancy, welcome to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Hi.
How are you?
Thanks for taking my call. Good. I'm laughing because Vidra was so sweet. I dropped the call 3 times. This is my 4th time calling, so I'm feeling like, okay, maybe this is going to work. So I hope it makes sense. I guess the word fervency, when you said that, I was driving, and I do a lot of driving from when I finished seminary a year ago to even now my new job in counseling. So I hear your program quite often, and, you know, driving when it's not heavy traffic, you can pray. And I sometimes just eat mindlessly, you know. So as you were talking about fervency, and I just, you know, was just thinking, oh, I just really long for that. And then just mindlessly grabbed my cheese puffs and started eating. I was like, no. It was like the Lord is just saying, you know, just listen to me.
Yeah.
And I put him back, and it just, like, the Holy Spirit just poured out on me, and I just started praying fervently as I was listening to you. And I was just telling Cedra that we had a great conversation, but anyway, who answers your phone? But I just was telling her that I just long for that, both for my husband and I. We both lost our first spouses to cancer, so we've been married a few years now, so we both understand that fervency in God doing miracles and sometimes not. And, you know, but I just long for that, not only with him, which I know God is doing. He's a more quiet person. I'm a babbling brook. And, you know, So he's just been in the same church that just doesn't do that. And I've been kind of all over the place. And I just always am thinking about and praying for and reading about, we shouldn't say always, but as much as I can, revival. And
amen.
I heard you, I think it was Alex, when North Carolina was having this revival. I don't even know how it ended or if it's still going. But I just wanted to get in my car and go over there, you know, and just be part of it. And so I couldn't do it right then just for other circumstances. But just revival for our country. And just sometimes I find myself praying for that and not near enough, not near as much as I know I could. But so anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for what you guys do. Thank you. I know Bert's not there, but thank you. You guys really do a great job, and I love learning. So,
all right. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for the call. You were very kind. Alex, I want to see if we can at least hear Jerry's question and maybe save it for another day. But, Jerry, welcome to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Thank you. I wanted to discuss 1 Timothy chapter 2 about how Christians need to be good citizens as well as praying for our leaders.
All right, Jerry, brother, I appreciate your call. I appreciate your patience in waiting. But we were talking about James today, and we do need to be good citizens. That is, Alex and I covered that at the very beginning of the program, how we needed to pray about how to cast our vote, how we need to be sure and go out and vote. And folks, if you would like a great, we'd like you to pledge to vote, but if you'd like to see an election guide or perhaps a voter's guide of how your particular congressman has done over the last few years, or if you happen to have a Senate being elected this time, senator being elected, you can do that. And you can find this information at afaaction.net. You can also find a link at afr.net. So, Jerry, I hope that helps some. We do want folks to be good citizens. We do want them to get out and exercise their right to vote and enjoy in that privilege. And we do want folks to do that. So we do need to be good citizens of the United States as we prepare to be good citizens of heaven. And remember that a lot of that is going to come as we walk through life together with each other. Well, Alex, you know, we're coming up on the end of the show.
I know.
And so what are you guys going to start tomorrow?
Well,
tomorrow's Friday, so it's going to be kind of fire away, isn't it?
Yes, and we do have, Bert and I have another book we're going to announce tomorrow, and so I want everybody to listen. You know, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous person does avail much.
Amen.
And you know, that fervency, it's like hot, boiling water, not lukewarm,
right,
not cold and tepid, but on fire.
Amen.
And so we encourage you to experience that fire and that presence of God through daily, daily prayer.
Amen. Well, Alex and Bert will be back tomorrow afternoon. You stick around. My friend Tony Perkins is coming up with Washington Watch right here after the news on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.